everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears?
Premier Radio Networks presents Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And our guest, Dr. Richard Sutter. Dr. Sutter brings up some interesting points and questions. How were these built? Who paid for it? And who wanted it built? We'll be back in a moment. So, Richard, to fill us in, you're at a conference, and I guess people are giving you a little bit more information about the tunneling going on under the VP's residence?
That's right. We had a great ex-conference co-hosted by Steve Bassett and your good friend, Cheryl Jones.
Cheryl was there, right? Great.
Yeah, and we had a great time. She's a great host and a wonderful, gracious lady. I really enjoyed getting to know Cheryl and talking with her. And, you know, by the way, she just emailed me and told you hello, George.
Well, email her back and tell her hi again for me.
I will do that. Listen, when I was there last weekend, I had people stopping by my book table to tell me some highly interesting things. A couple of people locally from Washington, D.C. One fellow told me that an acquaintance of his works in the construction trades, and that he had been working on a job very deep under Washington, D.C. This was about a year or two ago. Mind you, this would have been about the time of the heavy blasting out at the vice presidential mansion on the grounds of the United States Naval Observatory in Northwest Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. For those who aren't familiar with the area, this would be off of Massachusetts Avenue. It's a high-rent district, you could say.
And it's a pretty secure house, isn't it?
Well, I've never been over to the vice president's mansion. You know, he never invited me over, George. But it is a solid, established house. Yes, it is.
Okay.
And it's not a small bungalow, in other words. I have to believe that the vice president and his wife were not living there for the better part of a year during which this heavy blasting went on. I mean, we're talking large explosions with high explosives. It was a major construction project, and not just once or twice, but again and again and again and again over a period of months. Clearly, you're not talking about putting a new rec room in the basement or something like that. As well, there were heavy trucks coming and going, diesel equipment, power generators. Now, another person stopped by my book table and told me something else very interesting. This is a lady who lives in the neighborhood and who walks the streets in the neighborhood for exercise on a daily basis. She found the activity very, I guess, intrusive. At one point, they had put up a huge barn-like structure that you could see from the sidewalk as you went by on the street. She said it was actually camouflaged to blend into the trees. For those who haven't been in that part of Washington, D.C., there are a lot of trees, and much of the area is actually rather park-like. The grounds of the Naval Observatory itself are rather park-like. You have a lot of large and beautiful trees and grass. The grounds are kept very well. It's very pleasant and enjoyable to see. But they camouflaged, more or less camouflaged, this huge barn-like structure to look as if there were leaves, tree limbs, and so forth, though in reality there weren't. She says that when the project wound down, this huge structure evidently was removed. In its place, there's a small shed-like building. The obvious implication is that something was done deep underground in this shed-like building is all that remains topside
right.
at the completion of the project. I would hasten to add, George, that a similar project has been underway on the other end of Washington, D.C., in southeast Washington, D.C., right along the Potomac River, not too far if you went more or less due east across the Potomac from the Pentagon, a mile or two.
Well, we know yesterday, for example, they had a false alarm scare, and they scurried the president down to a bunker underneath the White House.
Well, I don't know what was behind all of that. I saw those news items, too, and I think there's a lot in that story that never made the press, because I read the articles that I saw very carefully, and they did not compute to me.
Right, but I mean, my point is there is an underground facility there.
And a deep. Big one.
And a big one. So maybe they never had one for the vice president.
Well, I'd be a little surprised. Here's what I think is going on, George. I think what they're doing under Washington, D.C. is way down there. Thousands of feet would be my guess.
Do you think they're connecting tunnels?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what I suspect, and I'll tell you why. For the other project, and my information does not come from any classified source. It comes from 13 years of connecting dots and reading, in this case, articles in the Washington Post. The project down on the Potomac is also being run by the Navy. One of the companies involved is the Kiewit Construction Company. The Navy has refused to say what it is doing down along the Potomac, but the same huge barn-like structures have sprung up at the job site down there with plenty of heavy equipment coming and going. So it really resembles very much what was done up at the Vice Presidential Mansion on the other side of Washington, D.C.
So it's probably what they do is they shroud this thing, this barn-looking
so you don't see the huge excavating
right.
equipment.
Going down deep. That's
exactly.
true.
Exactly. And the story about the project along the Potomac says that, like I learned with respect to the project at the Vice Presidential Mansion up in Northwest, D.C., that at the conclusion of the project along the Potomac, all the Navy is going to leave is a small building, some kind of utility building. There again, indicating that this huge project absolutely is taking place underground.
Have any workers ever said anything about this? I mean, surely they must be using thousands of people.
Well, I don't know if it's thousands, but there certainly must be some down there. You have to understand that modern machinery is so powerful that one machine can do the work of, well, thousands of men. These machines can have thousands of horsepower. And the size of modern excavating equipment for working underground is stupendously huge. These machines can have a diameter of 20, 30, 40, 50 feet or more, and they can be hundreds of feet long. If you haven't seen these machines in person or haven't seen the schematics or photos of them, your listeners may not be aware of how powerful, how huge, and how sophisticated the technology has become. And if you remember, the acquaintance of one of the people who stopped by my book table in D.C. at the X conference last weekend indeed said that he was working or had worked within the last year or two on a major construction project
right.
very deep under Washington, D.C. I'm guessing it almost certainly has to be that project. If I had to guess, I would say there's a beehive under Washington, D.C., just going down and down.
Is it possible, Richard, that they're concerned about, and we've all heard this, the fact that some of these terrorists might obtain a suitcase nuke and they may do something with it? Is this a possibility, too?
Well, I don't think so much that, because the suitcase nukes, in my understanding, wouldn't really. You'd be dealing with a surface blast. So I would have thought that the bunkers in and around and under Washington, D.C. would have been more than adequate.
The ones we already have.
For such a contingency.
Yeah.
I mean, easily adequate for handling that. No, George, I think something far more than that is going on. And just exactly what it is, I don't know. We're back around to this extreme secrecy. You know, with the project down along the Potomac, that land belongs to the National Park Service. It's national park land. The Navy just came in. There was no condemnation of the land legally. They didn't inform the Park Service of what they're doing. They didn't ask permission. They just went in and willy-nilly began to do it. We are in the realm of secret government here, of unconstitutional government, and that bothers me.
What do you know about the Denver airport, Richard?
Well, I've been there a number of times. It's a huge airport. I noticed that there's some very interesting murals with that I saw. There is esoteric symbolism or Masonic symbolism at the Denver airport, there's no question. And you can read a lot of our articles along those lines on the Internet, as well as some very sensational stories about allegations of a clandestine underground base beneath the new Denver airport. I might add, we're not talking about the old airport.
The brand new one, because I've heard stories from people who say they've seen workers, soldiers, for example, go in and they never came back out.
Well, I can't speak to that. I don't know. You know, you hear all kinds of stories, and one of the things I've learned during the course of conducting my research is that there are a lot of liars out there in the world, and some of them will tell you tall tales just for the fun of doing it.
True.
And so I have learned to really sift the evidence with a fine sieve, because you have to exercise some discernment, and you can't just, in my opinion, accept everything you're told at face value. This is why I rely so heavily on documentation, and I did personally speak with two retired civil engineers who were intimately involved in the Denver airport construction project. They didn't work for any of the contractors who were building that facility. Rather, they worked closely in tandem with the citizen watchdog groups that were active in Denver during that time. As you remember, there were huge cost overruns to the tune of billions of dollars on that project, and it raised a lot of questions on the part of concerned citizenry in Colorado. So these guys were there out on the job site almost every day from the beginning of the project to the end. And I spoke with them at some length and asked them this very question that you're raising. Could there be, is there a secret underground facility with multiple levels and so forth beneath the Denver airport? And they told me that while anything is possible, it would be their considered professional judgment as retired civil engineers that there isn't anything like that there. And I have to leave the question there personally.
Richard, how many secret underground bases do you think there are in this country?
Scores. That would be my guess, scores of them. And, of course, they would vary. They would vary in depth and size and sophistication, depending on the era in which they were built. The ones that were built in the 40s and 50s would not probably be as deep and as sophisticated and as large as those that are built now. Although I will say, some of the ones that were built back in the late 40s and 50s are already not too shabby and pretty impressive.
Were they like bomb shelters when they were built?
Well, you know, and there's the question too. I think some of them may have been. Others of them would have been not so much bomb shelters as bomb factories or assembly or storage facilities. Others would have been command and control facilities. Others, I believe, may have been for reverse engineering facilities for exotic technology that was retrieved. The case in point would be whatever it was that the American military retrieved in New Mexico in July of 1947 and has been lying to us all about ever since. My guess would be that type of technology, which must have been plenty strange for them to still be lying about after all these many years, that technology, my guess would be, was taken to places such as the underground vaults and chambers and work areas beneath Wright-Patterson Air Force Base near Dayton, Ohio, and also to underground installations in New Mexico and elsewhere. So I think some of the other uses would be, one of the most persistent stories that keeps popping up again and again, I've heard it over and over, is that so-called UFO abductees, and there seem to be a growing number of these people, both male and female, have reported being taken to underground facilities and even underwater facilities in some cases, George.
By?
Well, seemingly by aliens in some cases, but in other cases, seemingly by clandestine American military units. Or, in some cases, by both of those groups working together. You find those, you find a story with those three different permutations.
Well, we know that Area 51 has some deep underground facilities.
There is a good deal of underground excavation in Nevada. Area 51 also, my information indicates the Navy base at Fallon up in the northern part of the state, and at S-4, which is, you know, we talk about Area 51, but Area S-4 is not too far from there, and that's controlled by the Air Force and also Nellis Air Force Base, which is adjacent to S-4, the nuclear test site itself, which is adjacent to all of this. So the various federal agencies, military and also non-military, like the DOE, for example, control vast tracts of real estate in Nevada and also elsewhere around the country. So all of these places are candidates for underground bases. And the more I hear, the more information I get, the more underground facilities I realize there are. And I'm not excluding states back east or in the south from this. My information strongly suggests that states like Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Missouri, Michigan, New Hampshire, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, all around the country, indeed all around the world, we find these deeply buried subterranean facilities, and also, as I'm beginning to understand, undersea as well. And I suspect some of them are very ancient and have been there for a long time. They may have been abandoned by this time. Some of them are constructed by humans in our day. Some of them may be constructed by humans in our day that belong to societies, human terrestrial societies, that hold themselves apart from us. Others may be made by so-called alien beings from off the planet. And there's a good deal of anecdotal evidence to suggest that that may possibly be occurring.
That is fascinating. What do you know about the South Pole? I've heard of a possible joint Russian-American involvement there with some undersea bases as well.
Oh, my guess would be that there could be some truth behind that. I've wondered about that myself, and it helps to know that one of my degrees, my doctorate, is in political science. And in the process of getting my doctorate in political science and also pursuing my other academic degrees, I came to realize that one thing that governments do, and all of them do it, is they lie, and they lie a lot, and they lie about almost everything you can conceive of and a good many things that you cannot conceive of. And the reason they lie is to protect their power or project their power or to control their respective populations and keep them under their thumb. Because if people really knew what was going on, they might object. And understanding this, and understanding that power and the wielding of power can be a very precarious thing. The last thing that the Wizard of Oz wants you to know is that he's a tiny, frightened, scared little man hiding behind his curtain and pulling his power levers with a great deal of trepidation, hoping that the throngs outside the curtain don't know how feeble he is in reality. So there's this great big facade that is projected, and one of the ways it's projected is through systemic lying about anything.
You have done a lot of work into mind control technology. There's some tie-in here because we're talking about the same group. Let's talk about that when we come back, Richard Sauter, on Coast to Coast AM.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. City of Angels, Premier Radio Network presents Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, for those of you who have always wanted to try StreamLink, there's a free weekend coming up, May 6, 7, and 8, so you can try out StreamLink and see if you like it. And those of you who are StreamLink members, get ready for this. The brand new Coast to Coast AM Media Center will be available to you around May 9th. You will get some free software where you will no longer have to worry about clicking, waiting, and wasted time to complete fresh downloads of material. You'll be able to get it straight to your computer when you wake up in the morning on podcasting. How about that? So take advantage of the free software that you will get because you are a StreamLink member. Well, they say it's possible to read someone's mind by remotely measuring their brain activity. According to researchers, the technique can even extract information from subjects that are not aware of themselves. So far, it's been only used to identify visual patterns that a subject can see or is chosen to focus on. But researchers are speculating the approach might be extended to probe a person's awareness, focus of attention, memory, and even consciousness. You've done a little work, Richard, into mind control yourself. It's just a matter of time that it's really done in a big way. But it's being used now, isn't it?
Yes, I believe the technology is far more advanced than the average person understands. In my book, Kundalini Tales, I have the last half of the book is an extensive appendix of official United States patents, and they reveal that as of 25 or 30 years ago, the capability existed to put an intelligible voice right into the auditory cortex of the human brain, or to remotely extract brain waves, to digitize them, to alter them, and then use those altered brain waves to modulate a radio carrier wave that would be retransmitted back into the target subject's mind with the objective of altering his or her thought process. And that this is so-called old technology from years ago, decades ago. So if that's the kind of thing that the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office was giving patents for years ago, what can they be doing today, almost certainly, with the pace of technological change that we've had during our lifetimes? The technology must be far ahead of that.
Well, they had a brain transmitter in someone a few months ago. I had a story on that.
Yeah.
And this person was able to control things with his thought patterns.
Yeah, well, I think it would be my educated guess that in the so-called black world, which doesn't have anything to do necessarily with African Americans, but refers to the fact that projects in the black world are carried out away from the light of day, so to speak, where things are so tightly compartmentalized that knowledge and information and publicity doesn't leak out. And so therefore, it's said to be the black world. But my educated guess is that in that kind of milieu, that technology is so far advanced as to seem like science fiction. That'd be my guess.
And you know, it's probably also tied in. There's a puzzle here, and as we talked earlier about connecting dots, when you talk about secret underground bases and tunnels and all this, it's all one of the same package, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I'm glad that you raised that issue, George, because this is something that has popped up more than once in my research, both in my reading, and I've read, you know, it's fair to say volumes. I've read voluminously over the years, and I've also talked to a long grocery list of people, and then their numbers are increasing as the years go by, and I have more than once ran across information connecting underground facilities with these mind control programs and mind control technologies. It's not a good thing, George. It's bad. So many people have been just abused, and torture is the right word, have had their psyches, their emotions, their minds probed, shattered, abused, exploited, ruined. And the effect on people's lives can be deeply traumatic and destructive, and usually is. Unfortunately, it seems that a large number of people, oftentimes small children, by the way, have been subjected to this kind of treatment by American government agencies, the CIA and other agencies.
What do they want, Richard?
Well, I guess ultimately what they want is social control, absolute political and social control, down to the degree that they will electronically control the very thoughts that people think. That's the obvious implication of this technology and this research.
Are they making all Manchurian candidates out of us?
Well, I think there are a lot of those out there, too. I don't have any doubt about that. And I think the American people need to get a lot more sophisticated on these issues and fast, and realize that things are not as we have been led to believe, and that there are shadowy factions within the government, within the so-called espionage community, within various factions of the military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower warned us about in no uncertain terms before he left office in 1959 and 1960. He spoke out very strongly about this. And that we have rogue elements that do not mean well, and they are not doing good things. And they, unfortunately, are massively funded. They have access to cutting-edge technology, and they have been up to no good for many years. And large numbers of people have been sucked into these programs. I think conservative, we could say thousands, and of course these people have been used as human guinea pigs or lab rats in a terrible way. It's been horrific. Some of the things I've read and been told are just very deeply disturbing. And for the American government to do this under the rubric, under the guise of national security, how is it, George, that you attack your own people, attack your own children, and do these awful things to them under the guise of protecting the nation? I'm sorry, but I'm not buying it.
You know, people are concerned about these RFID tags.
I am too. I'm very concerned about that.
But and they're slowly leaking into the system.
But we're being enslaved, George, and we need to wake up. I don't care if it's the government. I don't care if it comes in under a Democratic or Republican government, or whether it comes in from the public schools or where it comes from. It's dangerous, and our freedom as autonomous human beings is being stolen from us, and we need to wake up, and no matter who it is, I don't want to be chipped. I don't want you to be chipped. I don't want to be tracked everywhere, everything I do, 24/7, because if it gets to that point, we're nothing but slaves. We might as well be chained down.
And they will try to make it mandatory. You know, a long time ago, we got a card.
Well, we need to resist, George. We need to resist.
But let me ask you how we can, though, Richard, because a long time ago, for example, when we all wanted to go to work, me, when I was 16 years old,
yes,
you had to go and apply for this card. Now you do it when you're a baby.
Yes.
It's called your Social Security card. And
it's nothing but our slave card, George.
You know, well, I was going to say, you cannot work in this country without a Social Security number.
Unless you're an illegal alien.
Unless you're an illegal alien. Absolutely.
Evidently, there's 10 or 20 or 30 million of them, and the numbers are growing every day, while Americans are being thrown out of work by the millions.
By the millions.
Now, we're living in mean times, and all of these things are happening with the connivance of the American government. Look, we see it happening before our eyes. And it's deeply disturbing to me. I'm back to my original premise. I hope that there are millions of people listening to this program this evening who are starting to get a clue if they haven't before. Because our avenue for maneuver, our window of opportunity for political maneuver is narrowing and fast, and there are people in our government who want to turn us into slaves, and we need to figure that out. We need to wrap our minds around it. I don't care who it is, whether they're senators or department secretaries, the president, or whether it's the vice president or congressman, the governor of whatever state we live in, our state legislators. We need to figure that out, identify these people, and move them out of office now, because they're enslaving us. I'm sorry, and we need to understand that.
What do you do? What does Dr. Richard Sauter do one day when they come up to him and say, now, Richard, you're going to have this little tiny injection. We're going to put a chip in the palm of your hand. It won't hurt.
Well, you see, we don't need to even arrive at that point. We need to do what we can, all of us.
You got to stop it before it even gets to that point.
We have to, because at that point, you know, there's the famous line from one of the Star Trek films, I guess, where Data is interacting with the Borg, and they're saying, resistance is futile, and he stages some kind of rebellion and says resistance isn't futile.
But this is how it's going to be leaked into us, because it's happening now. It's going to come across as being a great savior of things.
No.
Just swoop your hand over the cash register.
Do you know what? I don't care. If your chain is golden, it's still a chain. And we need to understand that. Just because your chain glitters and it feels so good around your ankle doesn't mean it has any business being on you.
Well, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. But that's how they're going to trick people.
Well, people
they're going
to
make it sound good.
What I'm saying is people need to wake up. And I absolutely think this dovetails with this underground base business. and the mind control business. It's all integrated, and I think plans are afoot to literally enslave as much of the human race as possible. You know, in past centuries, you knew you were a slave because there was a guy with a whip and they branded you. Nowadays, you don't see the guy with the whip necessarily, but we're being branded. We're given the slave number at birth, and you alluded to that earlier. We need to understand this. We as Americans have the illusion, it's very popular to say we're a uniquely free people. I think more and more we are a uniquely deluded people.
And what was it just a month or so ago? Apparently 200,000 people from Nexus, this information system,
yes,
their social security numbers were stolen or something?
Well, you know, George, there's more and more of that popping up, and that's not the only case like that in recent weeks and months. There have been several of them now, and even more egregious than that. Who gets those numbers? What is done with them? I talked with a lady just a couple of weeks ago who had her social security number stolen by someone who impersonated her and turned her life into a living hell.
It took her a long time to turn around, didn't it?
Well, yes, and she tried to get the feds to issue her a new social security number so she could get away from this never-ending nightmare, and they refused to do it, and she wasn't able to get a new number, and her problems continue on and on.
And you know how difficult it is. If someone steals and somehow gets your debit card, you know, one of those check debit card things, and the money's taken out, sometimes it takes the bank weeks to put the money back in.
Yeah, if you get it back.
If first of all, you got to realize there's a mistake.
And you have to wonder how much of this is, might you say, off the books or extra legal or extra judicial wealth transfer. In other words, how much of it is not, so to speak, random cybercrime or just teenage hackers or something like that, if you will? How much of it is organized and carried out with great greed and malice aforethought?
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. Of all these things you have investigated, the secret tunnels especially,
they're down there.
They are there. No doubt about that in your mind?
No, sir. I just don't know exactly who is down there and what they're doing. This underground agenda, beyond the things that we're told in popular films that Hollywood pumps out and we read in the daily newspaper, but I've seen enough, I've talked to enough people, I've read enough, I've connected enough dots, that there's no question there's some big clandestine project or related group of projects afoot underground, and it now seems likely to me undersea as well. And we, the public at large, are not in on it, which raises a host of questions. Now, we are being heavily taxed, and there's no question that trillions of dollars are being siphoned out of the economy to fund these activities that we are not told about. All of this raises tremendous questions in my mind. You interviewed Catherine Austin Fitz here 2-3-4 weeks ago about the black budget, I believe.
Exactly.
She may have made some points along this line.
She sure did. So what happens one day when they come up to Dr. Sauter and they say, you know, Richard, we kind of hope that you stay a little quiet. We just want to let you know.
Well,
you'll be one of those that come into our underground bunkers. You're okay.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, no one has done that to me so far. If anything, it's been the contrary. But I just, you know, to this point, I've kept researching and writing, and I've continued to find new information. And I guess as long as people like George Norrie invite on his very interesting radio show, I'll continue to speak about it. And you know, we have a First Amendment, the right of free speech and a freedom of the press. And the only way to keep from losing it is to use it. Use it or lose it. And I guess that's the bottom line, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, in other areas of this planet, in other countries, are some of these elitists doing the same thing, building these tunnels?
I've seen evidence for underground installations in Russia, of course, in China, in Japan, in Korea, both north and south, by the way, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Switzerland, Sweden, Norway, England, Panama. I mean, there are lots of countries with underground tunnels and bases and very deep and sophisticated ones.
Too many similarities, Richard. Something's going on.
Yes, it is. And I think, actually, some of my research and some of the conversations that I've had with people whom I won't mention have led me to believe that actually, in some cases, and perhaps a great deal of this activity can be explained not so much by the actions of national groups, but other shadowy agencies that have a great deal of financial power, have cutting-edge technology. They have the most sophisticated and powerful technology available, and they also have a great deal of political control, and that they control politics on a national and international scale. In other words, there is a shadowy control mechanism, very powerful, behind the scenes on this planet that is up to a great deal that we don't know about. In fact, the average person is not aware. They think about the power of the American government, so to speak, or the power of the Chinese government, or Russian government, or German government, or Indian government, not suspecting that there are other forces at work in the world from whom, for example, the British Prime Minister or the American President may take their marching orders. You follow me?
Good point. Good point. Richard, stay with us. When we come back at the top of the hour, we'll open up the phone lines and give you an opportunity to talk with our guest, The Final Hour, with Dr. Richard Sauter on Coast to Coast AM.
Keep rushing. It's not a sex, just a suicide. All these dream things I can't keep inside.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.